What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. This episode of the show is with Madison from Pizza Stoned. We're going to talk about running a food truck, running social media, why it's not always necessary to think of owning multiple units. Yeah, that's right. We talk about that, how she only likes operating this one, and that's what she really wants to do. And you know what? I think that's okay. We get into that discussion. She's pretty good at social media. We talk about her plan for that, how she does it, how she gets jobs, all of that on this episode of the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Appreciate you. If you haven't yet, please leave me a review on iTunes. That would be very much appreciated. Whether you like the show or you're a fan, you can do a couple things to help support the podcast. Check out our sponsors, leave me a review, or share it on social media and tag me. I am at Smart Pizza Marketing. I'll share you as well on our end of the social medias over there on Instagram. All right. Before we get into today's episode, I have to say thank you to everybody who joined me at the Pizza Summit 2021. Great summit, virtual Pizza Summit. We had a ton of great sessions. It is still available if you want. Head over to pizzasummit2021.com. It's available for about another week, and then it's coming down. So if you purchase a ticket, you'll get access to all the recordings, all the podcasts forever. But if you haven't yet, go register, go buy a ticket. Go sign up because it's coming down in a week and you're going to miss out on all of that great info. That's enough for me. Let's tell you, I just have to say thank you really quick to a couple sponsors for the podcast, and then we're going to get right into the episode with Madison, so stay tuned. Hunger Rush is a fully integrated restaurant management system that lets the restaurant own the relationship with the customer. It creates guest experience to drive repeat business, makes customer data accessible to analyze and put into action, and it creates operational efficiencies to increase profit margins, all in one easy-to-use and highly configurable system. Check out how Hunger Rush can benefit your pizzeria by visiting smartpizzamarketing.com/Hunger Rush. You're going to need a bigger oven, that's for sure. We have quite a few people who use Hunger Rush, whether they listen to the podcast or are in our mastermind groups, and all of them love it. The one thing I can say from my experience is the ability to follow up with your customers once they order from you online is unlike any other point of sale system. And that's the most important thing, the relationship management system that it has that helps you with email marketing, text message marketing, and the ability to do all of that inside your point of sale system is amazing. So again, go check out Hunger Rush, smartpizzamarketing.com/Hunger Rush. If you're looking to get your pizza journey started, check out ForzaForni.com. High quality, great service, very knowledgeable staff. They're going to help you all the way from start to finish. They're going to help you pick out the best oven that suits your needs, and they're going to help you and work with you all the way till it's installed and you get your operation open. Plus, they're super knowledgeable. They're very helpful. They have a ton of information on their social media and website for you to learn about what it's like in the different types of ovens and what you really need to get your pizza business started. So check them out, ForzaForni.com, longtime supporter of this podcast. And if you are going to the expo this year, check me out at the Forza Forni booth. Stop by, see a cooking demo, check out the oven for yourself, and then you can kind of watch us do our podcast thing at their booth this year at the Pizza Expo in Las Vegas. So ForzaForni.com. Also at Forza Forni on Instagram. Go check them out. All right. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I'm excited for today's episode. It's her anniversary of her business, 2 years going. Madison from Pizza Stone Las Vegas is joining me on the podcast. First of all, Madison, thank you so much. I appreciate you. I know you're busy. It's your anniversary for your business. So thank you so much for taking the time and joining us on the podcast today.
No, thank you, Bruce. I'm a huge fan of the show. This is truly an honor. This was one of the first shows that I tuned into when I got up and coming. So this is great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate you listening to the podcast, and I'm excited to talk to you. I see what you're doing on Instagram. I know that you just started 2 years ago, and it looks like your business is doing fantastic. So let's talk about that. Let's get into like the beginning part. How did you get started? Because I don't know if you've only been doing pizza for 2 years, but your business has been going for 2 years. But like, how did you get into pizza to begin with?
Yes. So I have had the business for 2 years here in Las Vegas. I initially launched my food truck here in Vegas 2 years ago today. And I started making pizza 2 years ago and 1 day ago. So, it's definitely been a really fast paced learning type of situation. I threw myself into it and I couldn't be happier.
I love that. Sometimes that's the best way to learn. Like you could read, I always tell people, Like you can read a blog post or listen to a podcast or watch a YouTube video. And it's only going to get you so far. You got to actually do it in order to really learn and get better at something. You got to do it. Like, so that's great. So what was like the first thing you did in the pizza business 2 years ago for your business? Was it a food truck? Because I know you're in your food truck now. If anybody wants to go over and check out the video on YouTube or Facebook, you are in your food truck kind of waiting to get open for the day today.
Yep. So my background is actually in bartending. I've been a bartender for the last 11 years. I'm originally from upstate New York, the Rochester, Buffalo area. And I mean, I like to think that at least I know good pizza and I grew up with very good pizza. So I had that going for me. But as far as, you know, being in the industry, I got my start as a bartender and really having that front of house experience, which is what really led me to wanting to do the food truck. Because it allows me the opportunity to really be in front of my clients, really be face to face with them and really have that social aspect on top of being able to serve them pizza.
Yeah, I mean, I love it too. And I love that you're a female operator because I have three daughters myself. So I always want to make sure, like, if you want to make pizza or do whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter. Like, just go for it. Like, you never know how it's going to work out. You never can tell if it's going to be successful or it's not going to work. And if it doesn't work, it's okay. Like, try to maneuver and pivot and see if you can figure it out differently. But you got to go for it. And I love that. So how long have you had the food truck for?
So I have had the food truck about 2.5 years. I actually had it custom built. I decided, you know, when I decided that this was what I wanted to do, which really the ultimate nail in the coffin was I had gone to a music festival a few years back and there was this huge line for food. And I was like, what is everybody waiting in that massive line for? Like, what is it? And it was wood-fired pizza. And the kids that were making the pizza, I mean, they were in their trailer, they were dancing to the music, they were laughing, they were having a good time, and they were making money. And to me, that was something that, like, sorry, Mom, but my mom always told me, you know, you can't go to music festivals your whole life. You know, you got to get serious sometime. So that was really the inspiration behind it was like, wow, okay, this is like a fun thing that would allow me to travel. It grants me the opportunity to, you know, have a little fun. And you know, it's no secret that the profit margin on pizza is pretty good. It's a pretty good business to get into. So yeah.
Do you have employees or is it all just you?
Nope. It's mostly me. I will say, you know, I have a couple of people that I've started training in the last literally 3 weeks to help me out because business is just absolutely booming. I've been, you know, the busiest I have been, but generally speaking, it's been mostly me. I mean, I stack the wood, I fill my generator, I make the dough, I cut the peppers, I, you know, my hands physically touch like everything here. And by the time people are getting their pizza, it's like, that's my heart in a box, basically.
That's fantastic. So you've been doing it that way the whole time?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, there's certain events, you know, I have large scale events where it's like, okay, there's no way I'm going to be able to do this by myself. And I'll bring in some people to help me, but yeah.
That's great. So why Las Vegas? What brought you to Las Vegas?
My grandparents actually, they were the most humble, like hardworking farmers that you've ever met in your life. They had a farm up in upstate New York for many years. They shocked the hell out of everyone about 10 years ago when they said, hey, we're moving to Las Vegas. And I was always very close to my grandparents. My grandparents have been a huge reason why I have the business as well. And when they moved, it was like, all right, you know, I need to be closer to them. I've always had kind of an infatuation, if you will, for Las Vegas. My first trip out there was when I was 5 years old and it pretty much was downhill from that point on. but yeah, and there was, you know, I don't know if you remember about 5 years ago, I mean, you being in the Boston area, you must, but 5-6 years ago, there was just like the most brutal winter ever. And I was living in Buffalo at the time, and I was actually snowed in my house for like four days, something like that. And it was like, okay, enough of this. Like, I've got to go west. I've got to get out of the snow.
Yeah, I feel you on that because I've been thinking about that. You know, I've always, my daughters are kind of getting to the age now where my older two daughters are graduating high school and they're kind of like set on their path. They don't need us, but they can like fend for themselves now. And I've always wanted to move south, especially since doing the podcast and we can kind of do it from anywhere, but especially the last year where everything's locked down and you know, you work remotely and everybody's working remotely and you can kind of work from wherever you want to work. I'm looking around at myself and I'm like, you know, Boston's a nice city to live in. And it's especially nice from like May to September. It's really nice here. But those other 7 months, it's brutal. And I'm with you. Like, I've been really, really researching, like, where can we go and move where the weather's really nice? And Las Vegas got that weather.
That was exactly what, I mean, I was just finding myself, like, unhappy, shoveling myself out of a situation or trying to get into my driveway. It just got really old. And, you know, not saying that 115 degree summer days next to a, you know, wood fired oven isn't a little bit of a challenge as well. But to me, the sun shining almost all year long is a lot better than the gray weather I'm used to.
Plus, you run a food truck, right? Could you run the food truck in January and February in Buffalo?
No way. Yeah. No way. I mean, especially because this isn't just a food truck. I mean, I have a 16,000 pound concession trailer, you know, that's 32 feet long. So even just me driving around town here in the valley is a huge responsibility and something I have to be extra careful when I'm doing.
Right. Now, are you operating year round out there?
Yeah, so far. Yep. I didn't really have a choice last summer. You know, it was kind of had to take any business that you could get. So right. That was definitely a struggle, but I have two air conditioners on here, which is actually pretty uncommon for food trucks. So it's funny. People kind of pick on me. They're like, oh, you're so bougie rolling up with your air. Like, I need to make this work, you know?
So what do you start in 2019? So 2019, when in 2019 was your first month?
Literally April. So 4/20. So kind of serendipitous, pizza stoned, 4/20. Really wasn't planned to be my initial launch day. What had happened was my build had kind of gotten delayed and I wasn't able to start sooner. And a good friend of mine who, you know, is in the cannabis industry out here was like, hey, do you want to come to a dispensary on 4/20 for your launch? And I was like, absolutely. Of course I do.
So you went almost one full year, like March of 2020 was when kind of everything kind of got locked down and, you know, the shit hit the fan, so to speak, with the coronavirus. So you were in business for 1 year. Like, what was 2020, the rest of that year, like for you?
So it was like it was for everyone. I felt like I had really been super careful the first year because I'm like, all right, this is when the business is most fragile. Let me not spend frivolously. Let me just kind of get what I need to get started. And then I'll, you know, build as I go. And one of those things that I had waited on, because I'm a trailer, I need a really big diesel truck to tow my concession trailer, right? 16,000 pounds. So right. Those diesel trucks are like $70,000. So it was like, let me not buy a truck my first year. I'll kind of rent one and, you know, have some friends help me out. And literally the day before I lost my full-time job as a bartender, I bit the bullet and was like, all right, I'm getting a truck. And then the pandemic hit and I got like laid off like 1 or 2 days later. And it was like the scariest feeling. I'm like, oh my gosh, I just took on this other massive payment on top of everything else. But it forces you to make it work. And I had to go chill in a really empty parking lot quite a few times to hope for a handful of people and hope that I could get the name out there. But slowly but surely, you know, through 2020, that's exactly what I did. I took those small gigs. I took those gigs that nobody else really wanted to do. And it has definitely paid off.
Now, how do you go to a specific location for business or do you kind of just go wherever there's events or things happening?
It's changing. If you would have asked me this question 2 years ago, a year ago, 3 months ago, I mean, it's always changing. And that's kind of what I enjoy about having, you know, a mobile unit. I can go and do pop-ups. I can, you know, go to random places and advertise on my social media that I'll be there and rely on, you know, my followers for sales. I also do events, you know, where I work with event promoters to put together an event. I do a lot of catering. I do weddings, birthday parties, graduations. I do kids pizza making parties. So So this has really afforded me the opportunity to do a lot of different things. And I mean, I really don't say no very often. It's a blessing and a curse. So, right. You know, I'm trying new things.
Now, where do you go outside of Las Vegas at all, or are you just strictly Las Vegas?
So currently, I'm strictly in Las Vegas. I do have a wedding coming up later in the summer that's in Utah, but it's a little bit difficult just with the permitting and working with different health departments. As it is, I already have to work with multiple government agencies because each municipality in Nevada, you're required to have a business license. So I do have a business license for Las Vegas. I have one for Henderson, North Las Vegas, and kind of the surrounding regions. But generally, yeah, just the Las Vegas area.
What? So how do you get each individual license? Like every time you do an event at a specific location, you have to go reach out to that municipality, or how does that work?
It depends, because not only do you have to work with each municipality, but each municipality has their own rules.
Right.
So it's just navigating those waters was actually a full year of planning before I even got the food truck. So learning, you know, the ins and outs of the health department and how, you know, even though I live within this county, there's multiple municipalities that are also within the county and they don't always do things the same way. There's multiple fire departments, right? The fire departments, you know, right. If one municipality to the next might have different requirements. So it's definitely a little bit tedious.
So it's almost it's almost like if you're an owner or trying to do a food truck, yeah, you want to expand and go as far as you can, but the headache of all the paperwork and all that stuff is like, oh, maybe I don't want to do that. I should just stick to one area and see if I could dominate that area.
It is, but I will say if I had to do it all over again, I would do it the same exact way, because there's really not many businesses that can say that they have serviced the entire Las Vegas area. I mean, right. If you have a standalone pizzeria, like you're getting likely just customers in that zip code or in the neighborhood and, you know, maybe a few outsiders, but I literally go from one edge of the valley to the next, sometimes even in the same day. And
wow.
That's always exciting as I'm like driving, you know, I'm like, wow, like how lucky am I that I get to like put smiles on people's faces with pizza from one end of town to the next.
Yeah. So how do people find you? Is it just social media and referrals?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I'm working a lot harder on my social media now, but I'm not someone who naturally loves social media. So it's been really hard for me to get myself out there. And I always appreciate it when people are like, oh, you do a great job of social media. It's like, it's hard for me. I despise it. I absolutely despise
Let
it.
Let me ask you this. What's the hard part for you? And like, what do you despise?
I don't like being on my phone. I'm a very in the moment. I like to be very present with what's happening.
Okay.
So if I have, you know, I like being around people. So, you know, when I'm here on the food truck and I'm making a pizza, it's hard for me to stop talking to the person who ordered the pizza for me to be like, hold on, let me take a picture
right. And
let me upload it on social media, right? I'd rather just engage with them that way, but that's the bartender in me.
Yeah.
So that has been, I would say, you know, the social media and definitely word of mouth has been really all I've needed.
Yeah. It is. You're right, though. It is kind of, especially where you're like a solopreneur, where you're kind of doing everything yourself. You're not focused when you're in the moment and there's customers and you're making pizza and serving people. You're not focused or even thinking about like, oh, I should take a photo or a video of this for later until later. And then you're like, dang, I didn't have time to do it during the moment.
Yeah, no, I've had some really cool. I mean, I've had some really cool experiences. I'd have some really cool clients who have really cool houses, really cool setups. And there's times where I'm like, wow, if I had a picture, that would be worth $1 million. But I hired someone, you know, that was the thing that I was trying to, you know, justify was, you know, working hard enough to where I could have a small marketing budget. I brought someone on in the last couple of months to help me at least with content.
Yeah.
But now it's funny because he he's not only he's a photographer and videographer, but he's also a social media coach, and he really holds me accountable. So he creates all this great content for me, and then he'll like follow up with me and be like, why aren't you posting that reel? You're going to get 4,000 views on that reel. Why aren't you posting it? You know, so that's been really helpful. But at the same time, I also I've never doubted the power of social media. I've never wanted to downplay it. It's just also because I'm by myself, I can't take on too much more at this point. Right. So I also get a little reluctant because I see the results that I do have when I start posting really good content. And it almost sometimes gets a little bit too much to handle being by myself.
Yeah. I mean, you're right about that. You know, social media is a long-term strategy, right? Like you never want to get, it's almost like when you run a business, and I hear about this a lot from people who have brick and mortar locations when it comes to hiring people. There's always like peaks and valleys. Like you have too many people, not enough hours. And then a couple months goes by and then you have too many hours and not enough people. Social media is kind of the same thing, right? Like if you don't post to social media, there's no potential for business from it. But if you do post to social media, maybe you get too much business and you get a little bit overwhelmed. So there's always like that happy medium of both. Like, all right, how much of it do I do in order to make sure that I'm present and people know about me constantly, but I don't get overwhelmed since I am alone.
Right. And it's hard because, you know, having too much business, that's a really good problem to have. So I feel grateful that is the problem in front of me. At the same time, you know, I am very particular with the product. I'm very particular with the service. And, you know, sometimes hiring people that have the same values and that are able to execute for what I can afford to pay, there's also been a little bit of a disconnect there.
Right. Like, you know what? Anthony Mangieri is someone that comes to mind of someone who's like a solopreneur, even though he's not. He has people and he has a brick and mortar location, but he always liked to do his dough himself and make every single pizza. And like that kind of built a name for himself. So maybe that's what you're doing too. Like you're not looking to have 20 units. At least I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe that is the goal for you. But right now it's not. And you're just looking to make sure that every customer that comes in is happy and satisfied. And that's great too.
That's 100% it. Like you just literally hit the nail on the head. My boyfriend's parents, actually, a couple of months ago, I was kind of just decompressing and telling them that I feel so overwhelmed and, you know, oh my goodness, like people love the pizza, but I'm over here doing it by myself. And then they were like, no, like there are so many great pizzaiolos that are actually running brick and mortar solo that people will wait hours in a line, you know, in New York City to just get a slice of pizza or to get a pizza. And that's something is, I feel like as long as I'm realistic with people, when they come to my window, I say, hey, listen, you know, you are going to love this pizza, I promise, but I got 10 tickets in front of you and I'm the only one here. So it's going to be a 15-20 minute wait, right, which for wood fired is, you know, a pretty long time considering the pizza.
But I think, you know what, you're like you are. I think everybody has to look at themselves and not other people and think about what they want to do with the business. You know, you don't have, just because you open a pizzeria doesn't mean you have to, your goal has to be to have 20 of them or multiple locations. It could just be like, you know what, I own a pizzeria. I enjoy making pizza. I like my business and that's all I want to do. You don't have to have multiple food trucks or it doesn't have to be a growth strategy. As long as you're happy and doing what you like to do, like that's the point of life.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that because being that I'm a food truck, one of the requirements that we have is that we have to have a commissary, which is basically where a whole bunch of food trucks park. And so there are a lot of trucks in my, you know, in my rental area that have multiple trucks and they've blown up and they've grown and they've gotten themselves to this point where they have a fleet. And I've thought a lot about it, but I just, you know, I really enjoy being able to oversee everything that's going on here. I'm not going to say that that's not a double-edged sword because there's some days that I'm so tired that I'm like, why can't somebody else make my dough for me? But generally speaking, it's a really good feeling knowing that I can take full accountability for the product. And, you know, that also means that when I get a compliment, like that goes to me.
Yeah, there's this old, I don't know if it's like a meme or there's this old video where there's a guy fishing, right? And he's fishing. And another guy comes up to him and he has like his own fishing boat. He's like, hey, you should get, you know, you're doing a good job fishing. You should get another boat. And he's like, why? He's like, well, then you can have two boats. He's like, well, then what do I do? He's like, well, then you hire someone to run the other boat. And then what? And he's like, well, then you get another boat after that. He's like, well, then what? He's like, well, then before you know it, you have a whole fleet of boats. And then the guy's like, well, then what? He's like, well, then you can have people run it for you and you can just go fishing. Meanwhile, he's already just sitting there fishing and living his best life. So you don't always need to be growing in order to be happy, right? Like you could have one business and as long as you're happy doing it, why have multiple trucks to get you back right where you are now and all the headaches that go along with it. Like, you got to do you.
Yeah, no, I love that. And, you know, something I always say all the time to myself is slow and steady wins the race.
Yes.
I'm not trying to race to the top. I'm not trying to beat out anybody else in this space or, you know, even my competitors. I'm just grateful that every day I get to make a pizza and, you know, people like it. So that's what it's been.
Las Vegas is really becoming a pizza city too. Like, there's a lot of great pizzerias and it's really becoming known for its pizza culture and pizza atmosphere out there.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah.
I mean, pizza in the middle of the desert where we have like notoriously bad water. It just, it definitely is pretty counter. I guess sometimes it does seem a little bit like, you know, how did that happen? But the thing is it's like, it's such a melting pot here.
Yeah.
We have so many people that come here from New York, and it was pretty well known for a while that Las Vegas didn't have good pizza. So, I mean, that was a consideration of mine, even just 2 years ago when I decided to get into this space. I knew that Las Vegas hadn't been commonly, you know, thought of as a pizza town. But in the last 2 years, like, I was like, wow, of course I launch a pizza business and now like it becomes a pizza town in the same exact time period.
Well, I think that's good though. I think that because it makes people aware, right? And it makes people in your area aware that you have to make a good product. You can't just make a crappy pizza, because people are aware that there is good pizza in Las Vegas and there's a lot of options. So in order to compete, you have to be really serious about what the product is that you give to people.
But there's also levels. There's definitely levels to where, so people who know good pizza and want good pizza, they will seek out good pizza. But there's also, there are so many pizzerias here that try to compete with Little Caesars by offering a $5.99 large pizza. So when people see a small personal sized pizza for, you know, $12 on a menu from a food truck, they're like, what?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a completely different product. You know, it's not even on the same quality level.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that something that happens to you a lot?
Yeah. And for the first year, I totally sold myself short. You know, I would like bargain with people. I'm like, well, how much do you want to pay? Like, just what money will you give me?
Yeah.
You know? And that didn't really work out too well. I got the pizza out there and I had people be like, wow, this was really good. Maybe next time I'll pay full price. And they would tell me that flat to my face. They'd be like, oh, maybe next time I'll pay full price. but that was also, I realized that it was also where I was going, right? Like, I'm in control of where I go and who my audience is and who my clientele are. So rather than going to the underground, you know, dance clubs on a Friday and Saturday night where, you know, people are raving, I tried to focus more on the kids' birthday parties and, you know, people who have a driveway big enough for me to fit in their driveway and we have a pizza party in their backyard.
Right. I think, you know, too, the other thing that 2020 did, good positive thing for the restaurant industry, was it made regular consumers aware of what restaurants go through on a daily basis. Like, when it comes to hiring people or the laws that they have to work within, or the third party delivery sites, or the quality of the product. I think 2020 made regular people more aware of that. So hopefully that gets easier for you over time, is where you don't have to like explain why your personal pizza costs $12, because you are doing it scratch. You are making the dough. You are using quality ingredients. You are a solopreneur, and they just understand that and they don't give you a hard time anymore. Hopefully that's where the market goes.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. Like, a lot of my friends and stuff, just casually, I'll be like, yeah, you know, a bag of flour that I use is $40. And they're like, $40
yeah,
for
crazy.
A bag of flour.
It's, they don't even know that.
Yeah, it's good quality. You know, I use the Caputo 00. I use good quality tomatoes. I use great pepperoni. Cheese is expensive now. So it's like, these things are expensive. And then on top of it, wood, to get good quality wood, like oak or almond, in the middle of the desert, that's also a huge expense.
Yeah.
Running a generator. I mean, you've seen the cost of gas right now. Huge expense.
Yeah, people think like, oh, pizzerias make so much money. What does it cost, $1 to make a pizza? Yeah, maybe in 1992.
Yeah.
Not in 2021. Like, there's so many things that go along with the business that weren't there 20 years ago. Maybe that was a super profitable back then, but it's not the same now.
Right, right. But it's funny because 2020 has definitely made me realize that as long as you can adapt and just, you know, not let outside factors just completely beat you down, there is so much room for, there's so much potential for growth. There's so much, if you can just put your head down and work and stay focused and grind, people see that. People see that, and a lot of places are just not surviving. So just based on that fact alone, you know, you kind of just keep inching forward.
Yeah. What does an average day look like for you? Are you open seven, like, do you do business 7 days a week, or do you take a couple days off?
Yes, I take days off, luckily. I know that's unique for operators in the pizza space.
I think it's important, though.
It is. No, it definitely is. And I'm trying to get better about it too. Because like I said, I don't always say no. So it's really a case by case basis. So this week I have such a busy week. I mean, honestly, I am doing 7 days this week, and that's because, I wanted to buy myself a anniversary present of getting my food truck vinyl wrapped, which is like a huge expense, but I've been rolling through these streets with literally like a completely white trailer. Like nobody has any idea that pizza even comes from the thing. So I decided this week I was going to just like take extra gigs so that I could pay for my vinyl wrap in one smooth shot. But it just depends, you know, because people reach out to me for events, that's really sporadic. Because, you know, things haven't been back to full capacity, it's a little bit different. But I do have some places that I go to weekly. You know, on Wednesdays, I have like a hospital type of like medical center complex that I go to that I've been going to for a few months now. And finally, like the word is out and the whole like medical complex knows like, okay, the pizza chick is going to be there on Wednesday. Happy money, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
And then, you know, Saturday I have a really fun music festival at a community garden out here. And today I'm at a dispensary. So it's really all over the place.
Now, do you have like, so like, do you know what you're doing next week? Or is it kind of like, oh, I'm not sure until like the weekend where I start scheduling the events? Or how far out do you have to book?
As of lately, yeah, I'm completely booked. I don't have any openings really until like mid-June. Wow. Is where I'm booking at right now. So there's a few days that I had to put on my calendar. Okay, this is a blackout date. Do not take a gig because I have, you know, a 250 person wedding the day before or after. So it's like, probably shouldn't overwhelm myself. But yeah, I definitely schedule as far out in advance as people want to. I've already taken some deposits for weddings in 2022. And, you know, that helps. It helps me at least knowing that, okay, there's some longevity that's happening here. I'm going to have some money in the bank to pay my bills, you know, in 2022.
Right. I think you're doing a great job. It seems like you're having fun. You're doing what you like to do. You have a good attitude. And, you know, from your social media and from what you're doing, it sounds like people love it. So I think that's great. I think you'll have no problem making money moving forward. If you can do it in 2020, you can do it anytime.
And that's what I just keep trying to remind myself. It's like, thank you, you know, for those compliments too. I appreciate that. But it's like, I can't be shy about the fact that there are some days that it's a lot, you know. Yeah. Last night, for example, I was the last one of all the food trucks to leave. I was making dough until about 11:30 last night. Wow. And I was the first one here this morning at 6:30 this morning. And sometimes that takes, you know, it takes, you have to make a lot of sacrifices, yeah. Right? That's no secret. So that takes a lot out of you. But I truly just love doing this. I really, and it's not necessarily the pizza. I think a lot of it for me is the social aspect, but pizza is also just so low pressure that if you aren't having fun doing it, what are you doing?
Right. Do you only serve pizza?
No, I do mac and cheese. I do different Italian appetizers, meatballs, you know, for catering. I'll do salads, crostinis. You know, I work with my clients to pretty much figure out what they want. I can smoke meats in my oven. I have a beautiful Nunaini wood-fired oven, so I can do tons of different things in there. And then I also use a rock box. I have a rock box that I use for smaller catering, which was something I decided to do in 2020 because you know, nobody was having these huge events. People yeah. were like, hey, you know, can you bring your food truck to my house for 8 people? And it's like, well, I can, but you're not going to like the price of that.
Right.
So I couldn't afford to keep saying no to people. I had to figure out a way to still take the money from the 8 people, which for me, the solution was the rock box.
Yeah, I love that. That's a nice little oven.
It's great.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
You know, I do a little backyard gigs yeah. and even I did a wedding in the middle of the desert with the rock box.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, you should park your truck at the Pizza Expo parking lot when it comes in August.
I can't wait. I literally cannot wait, especially because I've gotten to know a lot of the guys out here who, you know, participate in it.
Yeah.
At one time they were just like these celebrities off in the distance. And now they're people that I've come to rely on and ask for help when I have a question, especially, you know, Chris Decker and Vincent Rotolo.
Yeah. Those John guys Arena. Are great. Yeah. Those guys are fantastic. Yeah. I was just on a call with Scott Wiener and John, 2 days ago. And we were talking about the Pizza Expo and everything. It was pretty fun. Yeah. So if you do go to the Pizza Expo, let's connect. Cause if you do go, I do these interviews at the Forza Forney booth, who's a sponsor of the podcast. And I'd love to have you join me and do a live one of these.
Oh, awesome. Yes. No, I can't wait to have you out here. That'd be great. I'd love you to try the pizza. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of pizza in front of you. A lot of options. But.
I'm going to go try to check out as many as I can. Because I love discovering new places and like trying out everybody who comes on the show. Like, you know, we do a lot of these interviews with people who are all over the country and it's not always possible to be there and meet them and be in their pizzeria. So when I do get the chance, that's what I try to do.
Yeah. No, if you ever get back to upstate New York, I know you've had Luis Perez from Peels on Wheels on your show, but
yes.
He is from my hometown. He lives in the community that I went to high school in. He literally married a girl I graduated from high school with. Give his pizza a try for sure.
I mean, it looks amazing. Yeah, he does a great job. It looks amazing on Instagram. I haven't had it, but it looks fantastic.
No, he's absolutely killing it. I've been so excited to see him doing what he's doing in my hometown.
Well, Madison.
He inspired me too. I got a lot of my inspiration from Lewis.
Yeah, there's been a lot of guys. Like even Spencer from Wizard of Za started up, you know, kind of like a home-based, I don't want to say he sold pizza because that's not what he, you know, you're not supposed to sell it, but he was giving it away and he started at home. He started making pizza at home. That turned into a pizzeria. So a lot of people in 2020 that I know started mobile businesses with a rock box or an uni and got started that way because they had the time and the opportunity to do it. And I think that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the rock box. It's definitely a different product than, you know, a pizza that comes out of a genuine wood fired oven,
yeah.
But it's just so convenient. It's allowed me to offer my clients a couple of different options, which again, I think that's really important in a time like this, where I don't know a lot of people that are, jumping in full force to get a brick and mortar. So for me, I just am always trying to think about how I can be less attached
right.
to places or whatever, and how I can, you know, if there's an Armageddon, I can just roll out with my food truck.
Right. Yeah, there you go. That's perfect. Well, Madison, this was fun. This was a really fun conversation. I enjoyed talking to you. Where can people go say hello to you? Or if they have a question, they want to reach out, or if they're in Las Vegas, where should they go?
Yes, definitely. So social media, Instagram is definitely my most widely used platform. I personally answer eventually all of the DMs. So I would love people to reach out, especially any ladies in this space. I definitely love connecting with women in the space. Anyone who's interested in starting a food truck, I definitely don't know all of the answers. I have a lot of learning to do myself, but I'm always happy to chat with people. My Instagram is just PizzaStonedLV. Same on Facebook. And my website is pizzastonedlb.com. People can go on there. My phone number, email address, everything's on there for people to reach out.
And we'll link all that up in the show notes as well. So all your social handles, your website, and everything that we talked about on the podcast today will be on smartpizzamarketing.com when the podcast episode comes out. Madison, thank you so much. I look forward to meeting again in the future, hopefully sooner than later, maybe at the Pizza Expo. Hopefully you're there. We'll say hello. But thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Very much appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Bruce. Thanks for giving me this platform. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Thank you to Madison. Go check her out. We'll link everything up that you listen to on this episode of the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast over at smartpizzamarketing.com. Stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of challenges coming up. We did our Instagram challenge last year. We're going to be rehashing that. We're going to do a TikTok challenge. We're going to do an email marketing challenge. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss out. Subscribe to the podcast for all the announcements. Follow me on Instagram at TheBrewServing and at Smart Pizza Marketing. And if you're on Clubhouse, if that's your thing, I'm going to be doing some rooms over on Clubhouse. We have a group on Clubhouse. It's called Pizza Marketing. So just type in my name on Clubhouse or Pizza Marketing in the search bar and we'll pop up. And if you need an invite, it's open to everybody. If you need an invite, let me know. Bruce@smartpizzamarketing.com is my email. Thank you all so much. Appreciate you. See you next time.